Wow, we are three-pastor church, so you're going to see three pastors here today. Fun. Let us rise and begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins and heal us. Enfold us in your tender care and sustain us with your steadfast love that endures forever as we confess our sins to you. Amen. God is generous and faithful. Our Lord Jesus went to the cross for you, died for you, and was raised to life for you. The Bible tells us that Jesus has paid the penalty for your sins, and you are set free in his name. Amen.
He leadeth me, all blessed thought, all words with heavenly comfort. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Let us pray. Almighty God, draw our hearts to you, guide our minds, fill our imaginations, control our wills, so that we may be wholly yours. Use us as you will, always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Through our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
St. Paul talks about the need for the gospel to be shared and God calling specific people into the ministry. Have you been called by God into the ministry? Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing of his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The word of the Lord.
All right, well, welcome everyone. I was asked by our leaders of the church if I would interview our three pastors. So we've been going through this series titled Called, and we've talked about all of people in the Bible, or we've hit on quite a few that were called into doing something for God. They rose to the occasion, some of them not with earnesty like Jonah, but they all finished it well. And so now we want to interview you guys and kind of hear your guys' stories about calling and maybe the ups and the downs or just some of the things you guys have gone through over the years or even over the last 3 months of your calling. But with that being said, maybe not everyone here has had the privilege of knowing you guys or how long you have been called. So will you guys each be able to introduce yourselves and maybe say just how long you've been in your calling? We'll start off with Pastor Steve.
All right. I was ordained in 1989. Art Rohde signed my ordination certificate and was there at my ordination years ago and first called down in Colettaville near Victoria, Texas.
There you go. Pastor David.
So we're just introducing ourselves.
Just introduce yourself
all right,
and how long.
Good. Pastor David was ordained in 88, in July of 1988.
Wow.
Served in South Texas, began down at Westhoff and Linden now. Anybody know where that's at? Outside of, yes, you do. Outside of Cuero, Texas. And then went to Lavernia for 10 years and then came here, and I've been here for 25. So altogether, 38 years in the ministry.
Wow. Pastor Tobias.
Hello. I am.
How old are you?
Exactly. No, I just look young. Hi, I'm Pastor Tobias, and that sounds really strange in my ears because this is indeed my first call, and I have been in the ministry for, 4 months now? At Holy Ghost Lutheran Church in Fredericksburg, Texas.
There we go. Well, gentlemen, let's get started. So the first question I have for you is, what was the first moment you felt God might be calling you into ministry? So I'll actually start with Pastor Tobias on this one, kind of like the opposite one.
So I don't know if I have one big moment, like vision, dream moment of calling where, you know, someone spoke into my life. It was more a gradual process that grew, but I can tell you exactly when that process started, which was about 15 years ago now, in Afghanistan, of all places, because in my previous life, I was completely unchurched, grew up without any church exposure, and then I went into the military and I was deployed. And in Afghanistan, I was the only person in a giant camp full of burly soldiers who could play piano. And so the chaplain drafted me out of the ranks, and I got to play piano on Sundays in the church. And that's when I heard the word, and in the darkness of that place and at memorials for fallen brothers, I actually, felt it tug at my heart, and the Spirit found me there, and from there on it grew all the way.
Perfect. We're always looking for more piano players if you're...
I cannot imagine that.
Well, Pastor David, when was the first moment you felt God maybe calling you into ministry?
So for me, it was early in my senior year in high school. And, you know, that's that time, and we just had some seniors graduate last night thinking about those career paths. What are you going to do? What are you going to do in life? And I grew up on a farm. My dad was in finance, and I knew right away I was not cut out to play football for the Dallas Cowboys, so that was off the list, right? Every kid in Texas wants to do that. I also thought about going to A&M having the thought of being a county extension agent. I love that part of life. I also even thought for a moment, just a moment, about law enforcement. But church was always a part of my life from early on. My mom taught Sunday school. My dad was Sunday school superintendent for 27 years. I loved Jesus and I loved people. And the thought hit me, where can I do where I could connect my love for God with my love for people? Oh, ministry. The light bulb came on. From that moment on, I did not look back, and I trusted in God to guide me.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, and with you, Pastor Steve, when did you realize that God may be calling you into ministry?
Yeah, it's amazing. As we were visiting about this, how different all three of us, our experiences have been, because when I was in college, our church college at Concordia, way up in Moorhead, Minnesota, near Fargo, I had a really strong sense that I wanted to work with an international Christian organization like Lutheran World Relief. And I helped organize students and would do the fundraisers and information campaigns. And I loved just gathering all those people and telling the stories and hearing the stories from people in the field. And so after college, I had my plans. I had my plans. And I was going to go to Spain, and I was going to study international business so that I could be the best possible international development guy. God had other plans. I got through that summer, and was getting ready, like, this is August, and I was getting ready to head for Spain, and my plans fell apart spectacularly. I mean, it was astonishing. And I thought, well, obviously, if I don't have the Spanish and that whole thing, I can't do the business school. I can't. So I thought, you know, I've always wanted to go to Bible school. So I thought, well, I want to do a semester of Bible school. So I started looking it up, and I didn't have the money for Bible school. But I started looking, and seminary was cheaper. And so I thought, well, I can get a semester or two at seminary. And it's just the way God sometimes works, right? And so I went to seminary, and I met some amazing missionaries from around the world, African students from Africa and Japan and India and all of these places, and was just, it caught my heart. I was not expecting that. And when I went in, I could not have told you the books of the Bible. I could not have told you anything about the Apostle Paul. I could not, this was not, I just, I'd hate to, I was not like some Bible scholar kind of person. I just was interested, and God used that. And as I went on, I was still planning my other course, but God got a hold of me through that time, and I had people say, well, you know, aren't you going to be a pastor? I said, nope, I'm not going to be a pastor. And they said, well, if you want to do international work, you're going to have to probably have a master's. Well, okay, well, I was still single and all that, so I thought, sure. It was still cheap. And so I kept on, and I went on internship in Pearland, Texas, had a fabulous time. It was the third year of seminary that I finally felt God saying, you're going to be a pastor.
There you go.
Wow. There you go. Well, I mean, Pastor David and Pastor Steve, you guys have been in ministry a long time. I mean, Pastor David, you said, you know, 1988 is when you got ordained. I was, you know, 3 months old at that point, not to make you feel old. But, I mean, that's a long time to be in ministry and to stay faithful to the call. I mean, has that calling changed? Has it grown? Has it shifted at all over the course of these last almost 40 years? I mean, for both of you guys, Steve and David. Well, let's start with Pastor David.
Well, let me just go back to that senior year in high school to begin with, because it was early on that fall year. You know, you ask how did that call change or how did it grow, and it began there. And it was my mother that first noticed my change in attitude and the way that I lived my life. Mothers notice those things. You know how that is. And she shared. She says, all right, David, I see you. Because I played football. I was both ways, a starter. I was a lineman, can you believe that, a lineman, and I saw other guys, seniors, like, they don't ever get to play, and so I'd pull myself out and send those guys in so they could play and just enjoy the game. We weren't going to win any championships that year, and why not let them enjoy, because most of them would never play football again. So it began there, just that change in how I lived my life, and so that's, I think I'll start with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor Steve, what about you? Has your calling kind of grown or changed over time the years?
You know, when I did my internship in Pearland and had a chance to start teaching students, sure, and took a call up into Henry Schulte had just left, you don't know Henry, but
I don't.
Henry Schulte had just left Kerrville, and I took a call up there and started working with the youth and all of that. And the more I got to teach, the more I got to do that. You know, I was in ministry, but you're brand new, and I was young, you know, 25 or something like that. And I was thinking about, as I was reflecting on this question, I was thinking about those disciples on the road to Emmaus as Jesus is speaking with them. Yeah. And they come back and report, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked on the when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. And I just have felt over the years, that's been one of the joys, real joys of ministry, is
sure,
you're diving into something that you just grow to love, the scriptures, and of course, all the people.
Yeah, of course. I mean, couldn't have good ministry without the people. I mean, it definitely makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Going back to Pastor David, you mentioned your mother was one of those that kind of encouraged you. Was there maybe any scriptures or maybe another person or just an event that maybe confirmed that call in your life?
So a couple of scriptures that were always and still are favorite to me, and Matthew 5:16, that's part of our baptismal service always. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I thought, it ain't about me or you or anybody. It's about us shining for God. And I thought, that is so great. The other one that really kind of fit with my call, my love for God and love for people, it's like the great commandment. Love God with your whole heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And so those are two scriptures that are still, a foundation for me and my ministry today.
What about you, Tobias? I mean, has there been any scripture or family members or people or an event that kind of confirmed that call in your life?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually people that made it real for me, because it's very important. In the Lutheran call process, the way we approach the call to ministry theologically, it's important that somebody else other than yourself confirms the call. It's not just you feeling, oh man, I think I should be in the ministry. Other people should bring that to you. And while I had that feeling, I was already 20 years into a military career. I had a family, I had a mortgage. So it's like, well, this is a nice calling on the inside, but it's never going to be real. I can't do this. And at that point, within a week, my wife came to me, who I would have thought would be exactly opposite, like, no, you cannot risk anything at this point in our lives. She was like, have you ever thought about the ministry? And then my pastor in the same week, and I don't know if they talked, no, I don't think so. he took me after service one day, and he's like, I had actually preached as a lay minister, and he's like, have you ever thought about the ministry? You should really think about that. And so I was like, all right, this seems to be a God thing. We have to inquire about that. So I went to the elders of the church and I said, okay, so this has happened to me and it is something that I feel too. I have this calling or this feeling of call, and I would like you to pray about it and then come back to me and tell me whether that is something that you would confirm. Mm-hmm. And they did, and they prayed and they came to me and they said, no, we really think you should do this. And yep, God opened all the doors, paved the way. Whenever I tried to stray, he made sure that the way stayed straight all the way to Fredericksburg. So it's amazing.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, I mean, you uprooted your whole family, you know, to come here. You took a call. You left your friends. You left, I mean, really everybody you knew in Germany. How have those people responded to this calling of yours?
Well, they responded. So I grew up outside of the church. And not just did I grow up without the church and felt pretty indifferent about it. I was very set in my secular views. Mm-hmm. So I was very like, church. And I lived in the world. And so when all of a sudden, for some people who hadn't seen me for a while, maybe hadn't seen that change in me, going to church and things like that, so friends from the olden times, or even my parents with whom I didn't talk that much about it, they were shocked. They were like, what's happening? What? You're going to church now? And not just that, you're going to give everything up? All that security. Germans love security. Everything has to be safe and secure, and we have lots of insurance for everything. So. No, they thought I was mad. But interestingly, once they had wrapped their head around it and realized, okay, he's really going to do it, they turned and they got really supportive. And now all of a sudden we have YouTube views from Germany a lot here and things like that. So through that process, people that are unchurched are getting the word. So God is working in amazing ways.
I love that. I love that. Just even doing ministry or going through college, I know a lot of people poured into my life, kind of speaking into that calling, and people kind of saw the same thing where they're like, you know, I see something in you. Have you ever thought about that? I started getting mentored, and that's why I pour into a lot of our men or our boys today at our church. But have you guys, maybe Pastor Steve and Pastor David, have you guys ever had mentors in your life that have helped you along the way? Mm-hmm. If so, could you guys maybe share who that was and what that looked like?
I've had several throughout my life. I think probably in ministry, my internship supervisor. When you're on an internship, you have a supervisor that you work very closely with, and his name was Larry Jewell, down in Pearland. And we would sit. He was a huge Cubs fan. Mm-hmm. Loved to talk and just. We'd go out for pizza and beer and after work, and we would sit and just talk about life and talk about ministry. And he just was full of. He'd had many years in ministry and just had tremendous insights. And was just a he was exactly the right person for me at that time of my life.
Yeah.
And he really poured into me. And then when I went up to Kerrville, Doug McBride, who was pastor there, was just a dear saint of, he and his wife, they were prayer warriors and loved to pray. And he'd say, come over here, we need to pray. And and he was willing to just let me go and let me fly in ministry and do my thing, and always encouraging and, you know, some correction,
sure.
things, but it was a great, those two I think of so often.
I love that. You still talk to them to this day, or?
Remember, 1989.
Ah.
Yeah, so.
One day in heaven.
Yeah. Well, no, Doug is still around. He's 92, and Larry has gone to be with the Lord some years ago, so.
Well, what about you, Pastor Dave? I mean, have you had people that have spoken into your life, mentored you?
Throughout, it began with just my family. I mean, my mother, my grandmother, I'll say more about my mother in a minute here. The pastor at my church, D. Lee Muehlbrad, and he was there throughout much of my career. And Sunday school teachers, I remember a dear sweet lady at Pflugerville there, Erna Bowles, and she lived to be 101, I believe, but she's taught Sunday school for probably 85 years. So one of those just, you know, Polly, where are you at?
Yeah.
You know, a person like Polly. Yeah. You know, and others, I think throughout my career as I began the ministry, I would mention two in specific. One was Henry Schulte. Henry was always a great mentor and a guide, just in ministry, just a tremendous, tremendous guy. And the other was when I came here, and some of y'all remember Pastor Schleter. Tremendous, goodness gracious, because he was here, he is a pastor, then he's retired about three times before he became visitation pastor and filled in when there was a need. And he was a great mentor for, and I'll speak for Bobby too, for Bobby and I both, and just that wise, sage pastor who had a lot of years under his belt. I just hope that I can do the same for others as I get older too. But let me go back to my mom real quick. So this story has to be told. It was and she waited till the day I was ordained to tell me the story. And she, in front of the whole audience there, just said, you know, David, kind of like Hannah in the Old Testament, I prayed from the day you were born to be a pastor. So I didn't have a choice, right? So, my mother still is a good supporter of me, so yes.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I mean, Pastor David, you've been doing this for 38 years. And I think when we walk in, people see the pastor and they think everything is always sunshine and rainbows. They must be having the best day. I'm sure they pray to the Lord all day, read their Bible. Nothing can ever go wrong. But are there times where your calling has been difficult?
Life is difficult. You know, I think this needs to be said. That was probably me. This is not a job for the faint of heart. You do make sacrifices along the way. But I think that's part of our journey as Christians, not just pastors, for all of us. We're called to live life differently. We're called to live life by a different standard. And so that means making some sacrifices, making some choices. And there are times that God takes us way out of our comfort zone, sometimes away from our family, sometimes spending time with other people going through their crises. This last week is one of those situations like that, no doubt. And going out of your way at times to make a difference for people. And even though there's sacrifices along the way, you might say, well, is it worth it? Why would you do that? Yes, it is worth it. Because if you can make a difference for even one person, it's well worth it. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, to give you a curveball question, because I told you guys I would. Mm-hmm. So Pastor David, we'll keep going with you for this one. Early on in my ministry, I made a lot of mistakes, especially working with youth, you know, hey, let's jump off the roof into the snow. It'd be a great idea. And they weren't always great ideas. But I think as we look back in those earlier years, we can see maybe in our calling where maybe we misstepped a little bit. Have there ever been times where maybe you took a misstep, and how did God get you back on track to that calling?
But I want to answer that question. No.
Plead the fifth.
Missteps are, yeah. I'll start with my first call. You know, you come out of seminary, you're all prepared, you're still a little green under the gill there. But, you know, I just thought people in the church wanted to do ministry, wanted to be serving the community. Yeah, that wasn't true. So battles early on in ministry, people just wanted to do their thing. And so those kind of battles, and so you kind of have to reload and figure things out. Okay, God, what do you got me in for here? But yeah, have I made mistakes along the way? You better believe it. But it's those mistakes, and I wouldn't change anything that, and I don't have anything specific in my head because you threw me a curveball, but, you know, there's, I mean, probably, this is a small one, but, you know, how many times have any of us up here in front, and that's why y'all are out there, because you're like, I don't want to be up there because I'm going to make a mistake. You know, you go through the service, you miss the Lord's Prayer or something, you go like.
Or the blessing.
Or the blessing, yeah. Those are little things, but people will remind you of those. Missed opportunities, I want to say, I think that's the biggest one for me, because especially early on, that's why I learned over the years, God puts you in places for reasons, and so make the most of those opportunities. You know, I'll say it this way, early in my ministry, I would tell people, well, hey, I'll pray for you, and then I'd write it down, and maybe I would pray, and maybe I wouldn't, because life gets in the way and you forget. And now I'm like, can we pray right here? Is that okay with you? Because I don't want to miss that opportunity. That person may need you right there in that moment. And God has put you in that place for that moment and that time. And so thanks be to God. I'm not perfect at that by any means. But those are some of those challenges. So I don't.
Yeah. No, good. Well, with our last couple of minutes here, what advice would you guys give to people that are wrestling with being called? Maybe I'll start off with Pastor Tobias.
All right. So again, I'm going back to this whole idea of how we do discernment, which is kind of the way you are being called by God, if you speak Lutheran, or thinking about the ministry. I think the greatest advice I can give is what I just said about myself. You have to be called by other people. Go and let other people find you. I mean, you can search for that call and actively ask for advice. And that is not just the ministry. That, I think, is a way of life for a Lutheran. Go find your parents if you have questions about married life, about girlfriends and boyfriends, as much as you would not like to do it, but they may have good advice. If you have questions about your job, find people that are in that job. And if you have questions about the ministry and you want to have that calling confirmed, find your pastors, talk to them, find your elders, talk to the faithful here, your mentors, hopefully, if you have one, and ask, do you see this? Is this something that you see in me? And then get that confirmation. I think that is the advice I want to give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pastor David, what about you? Those that are wrestling with the thought of being called, what advice would you give?
So I think the first thing is always listen. I'll say it this way. God's given us two ears and one mouth, so we need to listen. And listen to God. But God speaks in a variety of ways. God speaks through the word and church, no doubt, music, those kind of things. But God also speaks through other people. And that goes back to that confirmation of the call that Pastor Tobias talked about. Listen and pray, right? And I will say it this way. You may not think you have the gifts for ministry, but, and that's okay. God doesn't call those who are equipped. He equips those who are called. And I think that's even true in my ministry, even though I went through all those, you know, seminary and college and everything else preparing for this, God still needs to equip you along the way. So, yeah, listen, pray, and just continue to process that.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Steve, finish us out.
Yeah. You know, I have to kind of reflect a bit back on my own experience, and I would say, you know, as you're diving into the Word, as, you know, get out there and volunteer. Teach. Yeah. Do, you know, do different things within the church or simply with the Word. And it doesn't have to be at one church. Many of you have done like Bible study fellowship, or you've done other things that have, you know, really touched your heart. And so I would say, you know, get some hands-on experience, volunteer, do those things, you know, attend those Bible studies. And if you find yourself really wanting to dig deeper and your heart's burning within you, you know, get with one of us. Yeah. And we'd be, you know, there's so many, you know, back when we were doing this, there was no online anything. And now there's so many wonderful online courses. Seminary is now even online. And you don't have to fully commit, but you can, you know, you've seen some of the pools that are kind of zero entry. You can bring a wheelchair in. I think sometimes our calling can be a bit like that, where it's not, you're not jumping into the 12 foot. You are easing in on that zero entry pool. That might be how that goes. And back with these guys, I mean, pray and ask your friends to pray, your other people around you to pray as far as that discernment goes.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of prayer, is it all right if I pray us out?
Please do.
Awesome. Well, dearly Father God, I just thank you just for all the wisdom up on here on the stage where we can just kind of glean from it over the years invested into their calling. So I just pray if anyone is wrestling with that calling, Lord, you will just give them a little prick in their heart to jump all in, Lord, to ask the questions. Maybe it's talking about Jesus at that neighborhood barbecue. Maybe it's telling their coworker to come to church. Maybe it's just doing a Bible study in their home. Whatever that looks like, Lord, I just pray that they will adhere to that call. God, we thank you for everything you're doing in this church, and I just pray we can take what we've heard today and apply it to our lives. God, we give you glory for every single aspect of our life. In your holy, mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, men.
Thank you.
Lord, whose love in humble service bore the weight of human need, who upon the cross forsaken worked your mercy's perfect deed, we your servants bring the worship not of voice alone, but heart, consecrating to your purpose every gift which you impart. Still your children wander homeless, still the hungry cry for bread. Still the captives long for freedom, still in grief we mourn our dead. As you, Lord, in deep compassion healed the sick and freed the soul, by your Spirit send your power to our world to make it whole. As we worship, grant us vision till your love's revealing light, in its height and depth and greatness, dawns upon our quickened sight, making known the needs and burdens your compassion bids us spare, stirring us to ardent service, your abundant life to share. Join me.